Shir Chavis Halvavis Sunday in Shar HaBitachon. I don't know what number it is. I don't have that paper with me. It's Yud Beis Cheshvan, 25th October, Sunday, Shar HaBitachon. We're in the middle of Paragimel. We're up to the Cheshbonos of Rosh HaVetovlo. Okay, we're doing Chavis Halvavis Shar HaBitachon. Came here today to hear about Bitachon. I'm sorry to disappoint you. Of course, I don't want to skip the Chavis Halvavos, but he, as I call it, segued into a different topic because he was talking about Bitachon and Hishtadlus and the need to do things, which he will continue discussing that. Everybody knows how much Hishtadlus do we need. It's pepper spray, too much Hishtadlus, locking the door, Hishtadlus. You know, so there are no answers, but we can learn the guidelines, and we'll be learning the guidelines. Meanwhile, he just set up the whole idea that there is such a thing called Hishtadlus. He doesn't use that word. That's our word. That's the word we're familiar with. So I'll use it. I was talking to someone yesterday about locking the door and doing different things, and so the person asked me, what would it take? I said, you know, do whatever you want. The shul should do whatever it wants. I won't stand in its way. I could have my opinion, but I'm not tying the shul to my opinion. They can do whatever they feel they want to do. Okay, so then he asked me, what would it take for you to hold that you should take certain steps? So he said, the frequency would have to increase greatly, and it would have to be much more. I'm not getting into that. I answered his question. He asked me a question, I answered. But I said, but it's not the pshat if it becomes more frequent. So let's say you have to do hishtadlus. This is the point I want to make. It's a makom sakana. You have to put bars on your windows. You have to cross when it's green, not when it's red. You know, run across a busy highway. This is all hishtadlus. You have to dress warmly. I don't know if it's cold outside, even though I don't know if it's kosher. Cold to getting a cold, even though that's what we learned when we were kids, but I don't really know if it's kosher. Maybe it is. You have to eat healthy, you have to exercise, crazy, you have to, you know, you have to go earn a parnasa, which is what the Chavis Halvavos' context is, that you have to work to earn money. It's not going to fall from heaven. But it's important to keep in mind that when you do have to do Hishtadlus, as we call, that's our word, it's no less, it's not the Pshat, okay, there Hashem takes a break. I guess we will talk a little about Bitachon. It's not Hashem's taking a break, so now it's all bets are off, because Hashem's not around. Because this is regular life. Hashem is not there. Because, let's say, it's a makom sakana, or it's this, or so Hashem, so things could happen even if it's not. This is what a person could easily fall into the trap of thinking. Now I have to do something because Hashem's not, I don't want to say the word. That's not true. Totally not true. The Chavis Halvavos makes it clear. And then also, nothing's going to happen unless it's a gezar din to happen. And nothing's going to happen unless it's the Ratzon Hashem it should happen. Even if it's a dangerous situation, it's not going to happen. The only difference is that, you know, 90% Hashem will do, and 10% he left up to people. That's not correct. Hashem is always the cause of everything. His will is the cause of everything, 100%. When we talk about things you have to do, if it's a dangerous situation, or anything, keeping up your health, or earning money, it's just, you're going through the motions. It's an achrayus, it's a chiyuv. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan explains. Why did Hashem get, Hashem didn't withdraw Hashem from the world when things are on a certain level of basic life. That's not true. Then Hashem said, you have an achrayus to do this. This is what I want. But Hashem is there just as much. It's just then you have a responsibility to do this. And that's why the Chavis Halvavos asks, why? because if you don't go to work, you're not going to have money. You're going to get sick. So what do you mean, why? And he's asking, why did Hashem? It's primarily something you have to do. So actually, it's more chomer than you think, because it's like a mitzvah. It's Ratzon Hashem. You have to do Hishtadlus. You're obligated to do it. It's Hashem's will. And the Chazalos explains why it's Hashem's will. But the reason he has to explain it is because it's really, you're going through motions. You're not really affecting the result. That's my point. It's not like when it's dangerous, then Hashem, no, when it's dangerous, Hashem obligates you, but now it's just not common sense. It's more than common sense. It's Hashem's will. Hashem wants you. It's like it's a mitzvah and a chiyuv and an obligation to take the steps you have to take to do what we call the shtablus. So it's obligatory. It's the Ratzon Hashem. And that's why he gave two reasons why. Why did Hashem set up the world? That I have to do something that's really illusory. It's illusory. So now, the question people have usually is, well, come on, it's a glossary, isn't it? But you see that if you don't do it, you get hurt. Or you don't have money and you're starved. And you know, so that's pretty coincidental, isn't it? So the answer is, and this is deep, not that deep, you know, I understand this, it can't be that deep, but it's this has to do with really emuna. If you don't do, when you have to do ishtablus, let's assume there's something that we can all agree you have to do. You don't cross a busy highway without looking both ways. Or you have to work and earn money. So if you don't do it, it's an aveira. Right? It's not one of the 365, but you're doing something, you're going against the will of Hashem. And the easiest way, excuse the expression, I won't say easy, I'll say the most beautiful way for Hashem to punish you for going against his will is to allow normal life to take and to like withdraw Hashgacha, so to speak, and then you suffer the consequences of your actions. Because really every Aveira is like that on a very deep conceptual level. Because the ultimate punishment for an Aveira is that you're rachok from Hashem. So really, you're always, punishment is not, you know, I'm going to punish you because you didn't listen to me. It's either that we should better our ways, or it's simply, you eat poison, you're going to be sick. You suffer the consequences of your actions. It's not really Hashem actively punishing you. He set up a system that something is bad for you spiritually, and you suffer the consequences of your actions. So that's always the case. If a person's Mechalel Shabbos, the punishment of Kares or Mises Beisdin or anything that happens to the person in their life that's a punishment for that Aveira is a consequence. We don't really maybe see how certain things are natural consequences. So, you know, we don't connect the dots. We're not able to. But it's always a consequence. But getting back to not so heavy, getting back to no hishtadlus, so it's a chiddush to us maybe, but this is the emunah you have to have, at least according to the Chazal for sure. When you don't look both ways and you cross a busy highway and you get hit by a car, there was definitely a gezeira that the person is going to die at that point or get hurt, or else it wouldn't have happened. People cross busy streets without looking both ways and they don't get hurt. People go in dangerous places and they don't, nothing happens to them. People don't take care of themselves and nothing happens. And there's definitely a gezeira. But when you do something wrong, so it's like every aveira. You know, it sounds less chamor, but according to the Chavis HaLavis, it's really more chamor. You're doing an aveira. Every time you don't do, the trick is what's properly established, as I said. There's no shulchan aruch. There's a shulchan aruch for hafrashas challah. There's a shulchan aruch about mezuzah. There's a Shulchan Aruch about tefillin. There's no Shulchan Aruch for Hishtabbos. So, spectrum, work on yourself, a little less, a little more. You know, you can't. Even people come over to me, you know, what's proper Hishtabbos in such a case. I can only give general guidelines, you know. There's no answer. There's no simple answer. There's certainly no mitzvah to be. Once you're scared, there's no mitzvah to be scared. You're not doing Hashem a favor if you don't do things. If you don't do things and you're calm, so that's maybe okay, unless it's lack of hishtabbos. But even if it's above the bar of hishtabbos, you're already not. I mean, the problem, if it's above the bar of hishtabbos, let's say someone would say, "I'm going to hire an armed guard to be with me 24 hours a day," like Netanyahu. Why should I be worse than Netanyahu? He's a big shot, you know. He has an armed guard 24 hours a day, so I'm also going to get an armed guard 24 hours a day. And so, like, let's say everybody will agree that that's me'al l'gvul hishtabbos. Okay, but let's say I'm scared, so someone comes to me, am I allowed to do that? I get these questions all the time. So I say, you might as well do it. There's no mitzvah to be scared if you failed at bitachon. If, you know, I'm talking about something that everybody's moda is above the bar. If you're scared, so you already failed. It's too late now. You got to go to Rav Linitz Hashirim on bitachon maybe. But you understand what I'm saying? If you're scared, you already failed. You might as well hire the God. You're not gaining anything by not hiring the God. And someone asked me once if you should go El Al, it's more costly tickets, or you should go this airway, so, yeah? Because El Al has better security. You want to go El Al, but it costs more money. So, am I violating Bitachon? I said, if you go with the other airlines, are you going to be nervous? He says, yeah. So I said, it's too late. See, you're already not there's no mitzvah to be scared. So you might as well go El Al. You're not violating Bitachon by going El Al, you're violating Bitachon, you understand what I'm saying, by being scared. No, you get it?
No, I don't get it. I'll tell you why,
Again,
if you live in Gimel and you're surrounded by
I'm not going to talk about particular cases.
Okay.
Everybody's mode there. Again, the truth is you should not be scared. Well, the reason to be scared, again, I'm talking about below the bar of hishtabbos and above the bar of hishtabbos. Let's say we can discuss if locking the shul door is hishtabbos or not. That's a rational discussion. Maybe yes, maybe not. Below the bar, above the bar, you know, people are scared to walk outside. There's plenty of people walking outside. Nothing's happening to them. I guess you see what I hope. But let's talk conceptually. It's either below the bar of hishtabbos or above the bar. What I'm saying now is even if it's below the bar, first of all, below the bar of hishtabbos is wrong. And it's worse than wrong. It's an aveira. I would call it an aveira. It's against the will of Hashem. Once we accept the premise that it's below the bar of hishtabbos. So, how to determine that is really, really difficult. But we are talking now conceptually. Below the bar of hishtabbos is an aveira. It's against the will of Hashem. But what's important to remember is that Hashem is still in charge. He didn't give it over to you. And the reason you may... So it's still, nothing's going to happen to you unless it's the will of Hashem. But you're running a huge risk. If you smoke, then Hashem says, okay, you're below the bar of hishtatlus, you're doing something that's mamish dangerous, and I set up my world that this will cause lung cancer. I'm not going to protect you from lung cancer. You're violating my will. I will let you suffer the consequences of your actions. But it's not that Hashem is like saying, okay, I'm out of the picture, and now there's a world and teva, and no. Hashem is always there, and the concept is that you're doing an aveira. And if you're doing an aveira, you have to worry about suffering the consequences of your actions. That's if it's below the bar of Mishtablus. If it's above the bar of Mishtablus, then my point is that it's not an Aveira to go above the bar of Mishtablus. You can't call it an Aveira. If there's an Aveira involved, then it's in being scared. Once you're scared, you might as well hire the shomer. There's no mitzvah to be scared. You can work on your bitachon. You can come to these wonderful classes. You can, if it's above the bar,
right?
Let's say it's for sure above the bar. I don't know. I don't understand. I'm trying to think of an example that's not going to raise everyone hackles. You get a third lock for your door. You know, you get a third lock. Just in case they'll break through the first two, you want to have a third lock. So can we all agree that that's above the bar? Right. So, but you're scared, you know, you're nervous, you're afraid. So that's already, you might, if someone, people come to me all the time, and they, you know, is it okay to get a third lock? I say, are you scared if you don't have it? They say, yeah. They say, so you might as well get it. If you're doing anything wrong, you already did something wrong by being scared. Because you don't have a third lock. You don't get it.
No, I get it.
I'm trying to explain it.
Being scared. You can't help being scared.
Whoa! That's not true. You work on your bitachon. Again, I'm talking above the bar. I'm not getting into a discussion. And if you're below the bar, then you should be scared of suffering the consequences of your actions because you're violating the will of Hashem. That is the true Hashkafic way to look at it. Not, I'm below the bar of Hashtadlus, so it's dangerous and something's going to happen even if Hashem doesn't want it to happen. Chas v'shalom. It's, Hashem might be okay with this happening because I violated His will by not doing Hashtadlus. And that's why the Chavos al Chavos goes to such lengths to rationally understand why Hashem created the obligation of Hishtabas. According to the Chazal Vavas, Hishtabas is not a heter. It's a chiyuv. It's an obligation. It's not a heter to not have bitachon. It's an obligation that Hashem made, and therefore He gives the reasons why. He gave two reasons why. And that's all, it's an obligation. But it's illusory. It only caused it in the sense that whenever you do an Aveira, you have to be afraid you're going to suffer the consequences of your Aveira. So here, the consequences are pretty, easy for Hashem. You know? It's easy. All He has to do is let you get hit by the car, not protect you with a special protection yet.
But maybe being scared.
This wasn't today's topic, yeah.
Maybe being scared would make you dominant.
I'm not sure what your point is.
Hopefully
it will.
Yeah, no, I'm saying if you're scared, you're already lost. But if
you're talking about something that's above the bar of Hishtadlus, then if someone comes to me and say, is it okay to get a third lock? Is it okay to pay more ticket, make more money for a ticket on El Al? Is it okay to, whatever the case is? So my answer is, yes, it's okay, even though it's not okay. Because there's no mitzvah to be scared. People say, can we go to Chevron for Shabbos? And the shul goes to Chevron. So I say, is it safe? They say, well, you know, I hold it's okay to go. You know, people live there. So I hold it's okay to go. He says, but I'm scared. I say, if you're scared, you're not allowed to go. You're not allowed to be scared on Shabbos. It's going to ruin your Shabbos. I told people the same thing. They wanted to get lock the doors, get a shomer for Shabbos. I say, if the oilam's scared, then they should, because you should not be scared on Shabbos. It's wrong. It's only Shabbos to consider. So if they're scared, get a shomer. That's all. But there's no aveiras by bitachon in Shabbos. If we're going to call it an aveira, it's in the being nervous and stressed and scared. Again, and the truth is, even if it's below the bar of Hishtadlus, I'll try once more and then we'll start learning. Even if it's below the bar, what you should be scared of is that you're violating Hashem's will. That's what you should be scared of. And therefore, you're going to very possibly suffer the consequences of doing that. And that's true by every other.
Okay.
Here it's just easy to, you see the link. You don't see the link if I lost money and I talk Lashon Hara, so I don't see the link. I don't see the spiritual link. I don't see, the Gemara says there's a spiritual link between losing your money and talking Lashon Hara, because you surely be like a Mitzorah and there's no Tzoras, so it's Oni Chashav Kamei, that there is a spiritual link. But we don't see the spiritual link. But we certainly see the spiritual link if you don't put any locks on your door and a Ganav comes in and steals, you know. It only happened because it was the will of Hashem. Chas v'shalom to think otherwise. But you have to consider that what happened is that you're being punished for violating Hashem's will by not doing your obligation. It's not a heter, it's an obligation. It's a very interesting perspective that Chazal is giving us. On one hand, it's illusory, it's not real, it's not that when things are hishtadlus necessary, so Hashem is like a little withdrawn from that, chas v'shalom. On the other hand, it's an obligation, not a heter. Yeah.
So, like, there's no magic, like, calculator that tells you where that hishtadlus
is. That's what I said.
That your nervousness is, like, telling you that this is proper hishtadlus?
I wish.
Oh, okay.
But aren't people nervous even when it's not? Aren't people nervous over everything in their lives which are clearly subject to bitachon? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so that's it. That's my answer to you. Halavai, we would be on a madrega that I would be able to say, I am such a good person, I am so developed in my bitachon, that if I'm scared, I know that means that we need to stop. Halavai, that would be true. Yeah, I guess I am laughing. Unfortunately, it's not at all true. If you know of a tzaddik and he's scared, then you know. Okay. Okay, so what happened is that the Zalvavus started saying, so why do we see, according to his reasons, the bigger the tzaddik, the more righteous a person is, the more he does the will of Hashem, the less ishtablus he should need to do. I'm not going to go over his reasons, but that's just the logical, that develops logically from his reasons for hishtadlus. Again, he gives reasons for hishtadlus because it's illusory. Like, why does Hashem want you to waste your time doing something that is not really the cause of what happens? So he says, because Hashem wants you to do it for reason A and B. He gives two reasons. I'm adding, the Chavis does not say this, I'm adding it, because people always wonder, like, so why did you get hit by a car? You know, the easiest way for Hashem to punish you for not doing, it's so much of an obligation that you're going to be punished. It's a chiddush, but that's what he would learn, that it's so much of an obligation that you're going to be punished for not doing it. And the easiest punishment for Hashem, he doesn't have to break a sweat, is that you're going to suffer the consequences of your actions. So he then says, but according to my reasons, then the bigger the tzaddik, you know, the less ishtadlus he should need. Which is actually a Ramban in Iyov and in Chumash, that as you develop along the tzidkus line, as you become a better and better person, you're more tovek to Hashem, you're more shivisi Hashem v'negdi summit, you need less and less ishtadlus, like that. Up to the point, Ramban says, it will reach a point where the ultimate tzaddik could ignore teva, and nisim will happen to him. That's like obviously at the very end of the spectrum. He could depend on nisim because he's directly with Hashem. He laughs at teva. Doesn't matter. So, but our Hashulchan is troubled by. But why do we see? But that's not true. You look around, it's not true. It's not true. We don't see that the bigger the tzaddik, the less ishtadlus you need. And the less of the tzaddik, the more ishtadlus. We see the other way around. We see Rishon. So then he says, this is, in reality, the much more all-encompassing and deeper and more troubling question of tzaddik ra'al l'rashon tovo. It's not a ishtadlus pitachon issue. That's why I call it. He segues. This is not a bitachon ishtadlus issue. This is an Iyov question. Because what's happening is tzaddik v'ra'lo. And what's happening is Rosh HaVetovlo. So there's no rules of bitachon and nishtadlus going on. It's tzadik v'ralo and rosh v'tovlo, which is a major question. And it's a very troubling question. And he says, the Nevi'im ask it. He rather, we wondered, he doesn't bring down that Moshe Rabbeinu asks it. He starts from Yirmiyahu. But Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu asked that question. And if Moshe Rabbeinu asked the question, we know it's a good question. Right? And Hashem did not answer him. There's no one size fits all answer. It's a very troubling question. The Nevi'im don't answer it, although they ask it, because there is no answer. There's no answer. But I can give you, he says, but I know the Ramchal does the same thing. He says, there's no real answer. We'll never figure out why any particular thing is happening to any particular individual. But I can give you the general rules, and that'll make you at least more comfortable. You won't be angry at Hashem. I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why tzadik v'ralo. That's what we learned last week. 5 or 6 reasons why tzadik v'ralo. And that's all. How does it apply to this person that it's happening to? We don't know. We don't know. We can't know. And remember that the Chavrei Iyov were taken to task for suggesting that they know the reason that Iyov was suffering Yisurim. So, if you're a really, really close friend, and you can do it privately, you can suggest that there's some things the person should fix up in their lives. I guess that's okay if you say it the right way. Otherwise, we really can't know. So now he's up the rush of a Toflo. That's what we're up to. And again, this is like off topic, sort of. Avol Tovus Akel Yisborach Al Harosha. So he gives here a number of reasons to go through it quickly, very quickly, because I want to continue next week with Ketanah. Yeshatia Bavur Tovus Shekot Malo. Yigmaleo Elokim Olem Olam Azeh. Moshe Amar Mishalim the son of El Ponav La'avido. Russia does a good deed, and Hashem pays him in this world. The Mr. Eliyahu explains the logic, like why is that fair? The Das Tvuno starts off his sefer saying that the operating system of the world is Hashem's fear. Hashem is just. Hashem is just, Hashem is fear, and that's like the, now we know computers, so we know that's the operating system of the world, that Hashem is fear. So, you could ask, what's the fairness in paying back a Russia and Olam HaZeh? Like, why shouldn't he get Olam HaBa for the little good that he did? So the Michtam Elio explains that it's perfectly fitting and it makes sense, that it's perfectly fitting and makes sense that he should be paid back in Olam HaZeh. I don't want to go into it now. Send me an email if you want to know. But the Mr. Malio, I'm serious. But the Mr. Malio discusses why that's fair. And at this point, I always tell a joke. So I have to tell the joke. That this Russia dies and he goes to Shemayim and he's about to be sent to Gehenim. And suddenly a Malach appears and says, wait, he was a Russia his whole life, Taka. But on this and this date, once in his life, he gave a nickel to an ani. He saw a person, and he inexplicably gave him a nickel. He has to get a reward. He has to get a reward. He did. So he gave stucco. Can't just send him again. We're not giving him a reward. So Hashem says, give him back his nickel and tell him to go to hell. This is a simple answer, and it's a beferish apostle, that a Rasha will get reward for his good deed in Olam HaZeh, and that's why it's Rasha v'Tovlo. But it's a troubling answer, if you think about it, because is that fear? Is that fear? So that's what the Michtam Eliyahu explains, why that's fear. His basic answer is that the Rasha's good is usually superficial. So we give him a superficial reward for a superficial deed. Again, Hashem has the scales. Hashem knows what is superficial, what's not superficial. So you got to work with the premise that Hashem is fair. Otherwise, you're not even going to ask the question, why tzadik v'ralo and rosh v'tovlo? Okay? You got to start with the premise that Hashem is fair. And Ramchal says that not just Hashem happens to be fair. That is the operating system of the world. That Kelamunim a noble tzaddik yosher who mishpat things are just and fair. Okay, that's number one. He's getting his schar for the good that he did. Number two is maybe he can have money and things are going well because he's going to have a son or a grandson. That's a good person, a tzaddik. Maybe even learning a kolel if that's a good thing to do for him. And he has money now. So Hashem is letting him have money because of the ramifications of him having money. And that's how Hashem is doing it. Right? Haman had it great. We talk about not a child, but what happened to Haman? Haman was fabulously wealthy and it was terrible, and then we say, hey, it went to Mordechai. That's wonderful. That's a pasuk in Kohelas. So, what's happening, you have to expand the teretz in your mind. There could be good things happening to good people because the Russia has it good. We see very little of the world. We see like a small little slice, sliver, that we're able to see. But Hashem has much grander chesbonos, so the Russia having it good might have ripple effects in history, might have ripple effects in groups of people. Russia might have it good, and then, he does good deeds for yeshiva. He does good things for the most of Chesed of Torah, because it's part of his Heshbainus for his life, whatever. He was a politician, he wants to get elected. So good things might be happening because the Russia has it good. That's reason number two. Vesh Shatiya Hasiba Gedola Shebasibos Moso Vera Oso, Kamosha Kosov Osho Shomon Russo. You see the Russia's having it great. Meanwhile, next week he's going to be kidnapped. Or his son will be kidnapped, and they'll shoot his son because he doesn't want to give the ransom. Yeah. Or, I would say when Kennedy was elected, he was probably very, very happy. He got him a bullet in the head. So you think, things are going so great for this Russia, and really, Hashem is preparing the larger picture is really not as good as you think. Osher, Shomur, and the Ba'olah, the Ra'aso. So that's reason number three. It might not be good in the larger picture, in the long run, and you're looking again at visions is very limited and narrow. Sometimes Hashem is Erech HaPayim, and he's a Rosh now, but Hashem sees that he has possibilities of returning to him, of doing tshuva. So Hashem, let him hang in there, let him tread water, let him be successful. Maybe something will come of him. Menashe, right? Menashe in the tshuva at the end of his life, it was a tremendous Russia. So that's reason number four, I think we're up to. And reason number five is maybe he is eating the rewards of something his father or grandfather, the tzaddik, did. And Hashem, that's the schar, that things are going well. Say that it's not schar if it prevents him from doing tshuva. But again, Hashem has all the cheshbonos mind. There's no one answer here. These are a smattering of reasons why it might be happening. This might be happening as schar to the father. Your descendants will be kings over Israel. So that's because of something good that Yehu did. So the sons were just eating the fruits of the schar of Yehu. Omar Mesalik Betum Lusadik Ashrei Bonavachra. Omar Narisa Gamzaganti. The low reason that Ignaz of the Zara Mabakesh Lachem. So I didn't see that either. So the Zara gets Lechem. The Yesh. Now we come to the hard ones. That it's in the Soyon. It's in the Soyon for others who would normally be repelled by the Russia, wouldn't want to be friends with the Russia, wouldn't want to learn from his actions, wouldn't emulate him in any way. He's a Russia. But it's in the Soyo when they see he's successful. So Hashem might be making the Russia successful because you now have an assignment. You are looking, and you say, "Oh man, wow, maybe I should. Maybe it's not so big, but look at that." So that's what he says. It's an assignment for you. People that really are not so shalim with Hashem, so Shem Royim is there, when they see this Russia being Matzliach, so then they also throw off their external, you know, pieties, and they want to be like him. The Marim Losser Me'avodos Haborim, V'choshim L'sratzos Alan She'eresha, V'lilbo Bima'aseihem, V'yizbara Dover L'lokim. Hashem can't punish someone for his thoughts, his not being shalim with Hashem. So this is a Nisayon, and now if he fails in Nisayon, so Hashem will deal with him. The year Anemun Bavudoso, the Sidlo, and the person who remained steadfast and wasn't taken in by the apparent Hatzlacha of the Rishoyim, he will end up seeing how the Rasha ultimately gets punished and falls. Eisha Sheltenbo, Mavaishin also. The Kabbalah's Charme Amoriasela, and this is like an Asayim for the. No, this is an Asayim for people who are not shalim with Hashem, and it's an Asayim for people who are shalim with Hashem. So the people who are not shalim with Hashem will shed their skins, so to speak, and Hashem will punish them. And the tzaddikim will get moschar because they withstood this desire of seeing the rush of the tovlo. Okay, so that he's finished. That's all good. So he gave a list of reasons why tzaddik for Ralo, a list of reasons why rush of the tovlo. And again, his point was that if you see, according to my reasons for Hashem obligating you to do hishtadlus as an obligation, according to those reasons, the more tzaddik, the less hishtadlus should be required. But we see it's not like that. We see tzaddikim struggling in this world, and they have it very difficult, and they have to do a lot of hishtadlus just to survive. So that's the larger question of tzaddik for Ralo and Rosh of the Tovlo. And I have no specific answers for you on any particular person, but I can give you some general guidelines why it might be happening. And he gave a list for tzaddik for Ralo and a list for Russia. I'm sorry, now he says, now he asks the question, so what job should I do? Now that you've told me that a job is hishtadlus, but you've told me that hishtadlus is illusory, so Hashem's going to send me the money that was nixed to me Rosh Hashanah, I just have to do hishtadlus. So I want to stack shelves in a supermarket, and I'll get whatever money is coming to me. Why do I have to go to college and get a master's? Because I want to earn more money. Why do I, if that's my reason. So how do I know what to do? I could, from A to Z, from Aleph to Tav, a lot of things to pick from. And again, you have to understand the Omek of the Chavzalovus' question. He's asking now, he's not asking, he's saying, you will now ask. So how do I decide what I want to do with my life? I'm talking now to liberated women who want to do more than just putter around the house and take care of their children, and do laundry and cook and clean and run the household and be mechanech the children. They want to do more. So that's what he's asking. How do you figure out what to do? What's the difference what you do? According to what that's the omic of his question. Bishlama, if when it comes to hishtadlus, Hashem sort of like stays out of the picture, so I'm going to go to a guidance counselor, I'm going to sit with a guidance counselor, and he's going to tell me statistically who earns more money, and we're going to figure out how I stand the best chance of earning money, because since this is hishtadlus, so Hashem is out of the picture, chas v'shalom, and I'm going to do, he said, but that's not true. Hishtadlus is an obligation. You gotta live with the fact that it's illusory, but an obligation even, not even a heter. And that's hard for a human being, for a normal person, to live with that. Because if you're telling him he has to do it, he's gonna feel that it's kochi v'otzem yodi doing it. But it's not. It's an obligation. So you say, but why did Hashem... he said why Hashem wants you to do it, even though it's illusory. That's why he had to give those reasons, because it's illusory. It's not really what's earning you the money. It's an illusion. Why did Hashem tell me to do an illusion? He gave his reasons. So now he's asking, so I want to be, I'll do anything. What I do? I'm not going to sit with a job counselor and see what earns money. I'm not going to study, what's the difference if I'm a doctor or I'm stacking shelves in a supermarket? I'm going to get whatever's money is coming to me. How do I decide? We're going to talk about that also in future week, next week, Mr. Shem. Right now he's asking, how do I decide what to do? Doesn't matter. It doesn't seem to matter. I'm going to do his tablos, so it doesn't matter. The chivon, we're back into bitachon. The chivon she his barer. I clarify for you. Chiyuv hal gilgul akol hasibos. That's how he calls his tablos. That's his word for his tablos. To be misasek with sibos. To busy yourself with the channels through which Hashem effects his desired din, effects his din of what's going to be with you. He has channels. That's how we started off the idea of what we call Hishtadlus. That ever since after Sheishas Yimei Bereishis, Hashem works through channels. He doesn't snap his fingers anymore and say, Yihi money. Yihi money. He doesn't do that anymore. It needs a channel. And you have to be and he calls that Sibos, even though it's illusory. It's not really the Sibos. He explained that. And then he says you have an obligation to busy yourself with the sibos, but he calls it busy yourself because it's not really real. It's just you're busying yourself with it. Why? He gave reasons. So now he's saying, okay, now that you climb on that, Nevorah taught, so now how do I figure out what to do? He's asking it a different way. Doesn't matter what I do. What's the difference? I'll do anything. I'll close my eyes and I'll take an alphabetical list of professions. And I'll close my eyes and I'll throw a dart or I'll point my finger, and that's what I'll do, because what's the difference? So he says that's not the case. It's not true. He ain't called Odom Chayav Lasser, I'll call Siba Misibus Hateres. You can't just say it doesn't matter what I do. I'll do anything. He has Sibus Rabos. How are you going to decide what to do? He doesn't like the idea of flipping a coin. He doesn't like the idea of throwing a dart. He doesn't like the idea of just pointing to a long list. From astronaut to zookeeper. I can't do that in Hebrew. From, help me out, that's Aleph. From Aluf, something, Aluf, I don't know. To, tough. Okay, no problem. Okay, Mehen Nekalo, there are a lot of things in the world that are the channels through which Hashem sends money. Some are easy to do, Shetirchen Ma'at. You can be a manager, have other people work for you. Kishora b'chanus, or malachta shetircha ma'at, ketfira, this is 1,000 years ago. He doesn't talk about computers. He talks about sewing, or b'ichri, b'asafrus, itzra b'schorim, having warehouses, wholesaler, uskir harisim b'apualim, mishmak, you're a manager, the other guy's working. Right? So some things are easy to do. So everybody's going to run to do the easy things. Tanning leather, very hard work, very dirty work, smelly work. The mine, about the miners and the coal mines. Refining silver. Being a schlepper, hovalah, melechas bedrachim rechokim tamid, you have to travel a lot. Avodas adam, any farmers, hard work, farmers work, never done. L'charishasa, l'kayotzim behem. So, there's so many things to pick from, and there's hard things and easy things. How do I know what to pick? What am I going to do? Okay, we'll stop here. Don't take any jobs till next week.
And Rob Levin is being operated
into the white
right now.
In our what's her name? Esther Miriam. And you know that she's the Miriam of the generation. She's Esther.
This week is especially critical for the Shai Shalom and Mahmoud. So,
thank you. Thank you.
It's a Kalash wind door with a third kaf koach. The whole book is written over young women and boys in the athletes' row. Tati Lane, the cold sovereign is it, but Saki Yemen Khos got some, the Chaim Ul Shalom. It's called the Khosa Shukib on the Zel Shukayan, the Sepo and the Zepo. The Grosha on the Israel, the Tilain Shalot, and the Helmut are the same. I know shows how much we have left, and that's what I did. Tati Lane, the cold raw.
Thank you.